Ladies and gentlemen, this show is brought to you exclusively by the Reality Check Podcast Network.
Welcome, everybody, to the RTW Raw Review. Rad Rob breaks down everything about Monday Night Raw, giving you the most in-depth, cutting-edge, comprehensive coverage than any other podcast out there. Now, without further ado, let's introduce the host of your show, Rad Rob, Rob Francois. Hey guys, welcome back to the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. This is your RTW Monday Night Raw Review Show. I'm your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois. We are in episode 30 of our Raw Review. 30 weeks of that already. That's crazy. As I mentioned this past weekend on the flagship, starting after the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, so this should be on Tuesday, May 12th. The Raw Review will be moving to the flagship on Saturday, and I'll be debuting a new show called RTW Rewind. It'll be featuring the stars that influenced me as a wrestling fan from the past. I'll pick one per week and talk about them and what they meant to me and how much they influenced me as a kid and as a fan. I'll be doing, you know, old school video games. It'll pretty much just be a retro show. We'll have stars from the past on as I can get them for interviews. So it'll be a mixture of stuff dealing with, all the things that I grew up with watching wrestling. So I'm looking forward to bringing that to you. So the Raw Review will be condensed. It'll be going to the flagship, starting May 12th. So, nothing will change. It'll be part of your normal feed. So you don't have to do anything different. But we're here to talk about Raw right now, so let's get into it. Here's what I thought about this week's Monday Night Raw. As they have been for quite some time now, Monday Night Raw coming to you from the empty WWE Performance Center in Orlando, Florida. We kick off the show with MVP, who was recently lost his Money in the Bank contract qualifier last week to Apollo Crews. So he's back in the VIP lounge, his talk show segment, which I'm going to play for you right now. Hear his MVP in the VIP lounge with his special guest, the three Raw Money in the Bank qualifying competitors, Rey Mysterio, Aleister Black, and Apollo Crews.
All right, now that we're all here, everyone wants to know what it means to become Mr. Money in the Bank.
Well,
I know you so well that I already know that to you, this just means an opportunity to cement your legacy and to add to your already historic career. We got that. I know what it takes.
This Money in the Bank match is an opportunity.
Welcome to the
As we got some added company to the VIP lounge.
Oh, short-lived.
Enough, 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 enough. The WWE Universe can't get enough of the United States champion, Andrade! Raw's lethal Lothario, Angel Garza. And WWE's fastest rising star, Austin Theory. These three men are the future. The future that you three now represent is a bleak one. One where that Money in the Bank contract resides somewhere other than Raw. Ooh, what are we gonna do about this? This needs to go. Bye-bye. You three just need to do what's right. You three need to show the WWE Universe that you're willing to do what's best for Monday Night Raw. And allow these three to take your place.
Well, La Muñeca has spoken, and where I'm from, that sounds like, oh, please, let me speak. So you were coming out here expecting for us three to just give up our Money in the Bank spots?
Just like that.
Wow, wow. Si, tú que estás loca, eh? But I'm also picking up a vibe here that you didn't just come out here for that.
Hey everyone, this is Sharon Waxman. I'm the founder and the editor-in-chief of The Wrap, the premier news source for daily coverage of the entertainment industry. I'm also your host of this new podcast, The Wrap-Up, a show that gives you an insider's look at the top stories in Hollywood. Each week, we'll bring you the latest news on the business of movies, TV, streaming, and tech. So be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you each week on The Wrap-Up.
What's going on? You have John Wangland, one of the hosts of Wrestling With Reality. Check out our shows this week on Wrestling With Reality. We have some great shows. We have our MMA show. We look at, is Khabib Nurmagomedov versus George St. Pierre a reality? Why John Jones is such a disgrace to the UFC? We also have on WCW Monday Nitro Watch Along, and we take a look back at Triple H in his 25-year career in the WWE. So check out Wrestling With Reality on all major podcast outlets.
You came out here to pick a fight with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy, the coach from the WWE. Now, there are very few wrestling podcasts out there that I like, but this one I love. I love the name. I love the personalities. I love the content. Follow. Subscribe. I do. The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. That's where you're at right here on the Reality Check Podcast Network.
So, I knew exactly when Zelina Vega came out there with her stable, Austin Theory, Angel Garza, and Andrade. I automatically knew from my little wrestling fan brain that's been watching WWE his entire life and the way Vince McMahon likes to book his shows, that after this segment, we're going to go to commercial and come back, and we would have a six-man tag team match, which is exactly what happened. Good Lord, this show, guys, last week was pretty good. This show was so bad. This is going to be a pretty quick review show. Don't expect too much out of me on this one. And to be completely 100% honest with you guys, I literally went to bed after the second hour was over. I did not even want to watch the last hour of the show. So everything from the last hour, I have no idea what happened. I'll be reading notes on it online because I myself did not watch it. This show was that bad. But during the VIP lounge segment, MVP asks Aleister Black or Rey Mysterio a question, doesn't let Rey answer it. Pretty much speaks for Aleister Black, but let's Apollo Crews, the guy that beat him last week, talk. which is cool. I like the fact that Cruz is getting a little mini push here. And MVP went as far as saying he thinks Apollo Crews, as much as he hates to say it, is going to win the entire thing. As I mentioned, Andrade, Austin Theory, and Angel Garza come on with Zelina Vega, and Vega says that nobody wants to hear about what Crews has to say. She says WWE Universe cannot get enough of her crew. I mean, hell, the entire show last week was pretty much based on her and her crew. And she wanted them to give up their spots in the Money in the Bank match because nobody wants to see those guys in it. They want to see her guys in it. So that, you know, that leads to a brawl breaking out. We get a 6-man tag team match after that. And, well, the very interesting part of this is double duty that Apollo Crews had. Not only did he wrestle in this match, he also wrestled later on in the show for the U.S. title. Very, very strange that they would do that. This was a taped show, and MVP messed up in the beginning. You didn't hear it, but when he was introing the guys, he went to call Rey Mysterio like a Hall of Famer luchador, and he said luchador and forgot the D. Even Tom Phillips made another mistake on commentary, and I can't believe, like, this was taped. How do you not reshoot that? Or do it again. Who's editing these shows? I feel like they need me to edit the shows. I mean, I edit my own shows. This match was okay. In hindsight, it was probably the best match of the night. But that's really not saying much. I'm looking forward to the Money in the Bank match. I really am. I'm looking forward to see how they pull this whole thing off. I will mention this. This is something that I said last week, that when finding out what the concept of this year's Money in the Bank contract ladder match is going to be, climbing the corporate ladder, as they're calling it, going from the ground floor of Titan Tower in Stamford, Connecticut, up to the top where there's going to be a ring with the briefcase above the ring, you know, they did give us a little picture of what it looks like during one of their commercials. There indeed was a ring on top of the building with light towers that it constructed up there, and the briefcases held up above the rings. It was a really cool thing to see with, you know, the skyline of Stamford, Connecticut, you know, in the background, which isn't pretty. It's just mostly buildings and highways, but still pretty cool thing. And it will be a cool thing to see a match on top of that building. Really looking forward to that. But as far as I know, the matches are taped and already taped. And Vince McMahon, on his first quarter earnings call, had mentioned that these matches would be filmed cinematically, kind of like it did with the Boneyard match and with the Firefly Funhouse. And I told you guys that this was probably going to happen. I also mentioned that Vince McMahon, because of this pandemic, is finally getting to live out his entertainment dreams. Like the E in WWE for entertainment. This is what he's wanted to do for a long time. Less wrestling and more entertainment. He's getting to think outside the box and present these matches to you the way he wants them seen. More Hollywood and less, you know, arena wrestling. This is Vince McMahon's wet dream right now during this pandemic. And he says they'll be bringing more matches like this to you while they don't have a crowd. And even when they go back to business, it may not be business as normal. They're expected to, at least from what he says right now, cut a lot of live events. That means a lot of house shows. Now, I know that a lot of the wrestlers might like some extra time off, but they're also going to be missing the paychecks, too. You got merchandise sales. I don't know if they get bonuses for wrestling house shows. I don't know how their actual money contracts work now. Back in the day, you'd get a percentage of the house. You know, when Hogan was working on top back in the 80s, you wanted to be in the A-town. They had an A-town, a B-town, and a C, and a crew, a B crew, and a C crew. Or they'd run three shows, you know, in one day in different towns in the area. And you wanted to be on that A crew where Hogan was because you knew you were going to get paid, paid the most because you'd have a packed house. Don't know if that works anymore. I don't know if they get incentives for working house shows or getting paid extra for working live events or house shows, as they used to call them. But that is the plan, to cut back on live events. And who knows? Maybe they will be going back to more taped shows. Now there really isn't any competition. Do they really need to run live every week? A lot of the reason why they went live in the mid to late 90s is because Eric Bischoff was giving away the spoilers on Nitro. So Vince had to go live so Bischoff couldn't give the results of his shows away. But in any event, where the fuck is I going with that? What brought me to this? Oh, yeah, cinematic shit. Money in the Bank. Looking forward to it. It'll be different. It'll be absolutely unique. But I knew, and another thing is, I am pretty much 99% sure that the women's match and the men's match will be held at the same time. It would not make any sense at all to have the men's match go through the building and then have the women's match go through the building like later on in the show. I am all but guaranteed that they are going to happen at the same time. They'll be intermingling throughout the building and all working their way up to the top. So it's going to be a really cool segment. What wasn't a cool segment was this one. The VIP lounge sucked. And the match is okay. Black, Mysterio, and Apollo got the win. We then focused on the 25th anniversary of Triple H in the WWE. As we saw on Friday Night SmackDown, they had a little roast of Triple H by Shawn Michaels and Vince McMahon. A lot of people had different thoughts on that. I thought it was great. A lot of people thought Vince was weird, but we've known that for a long time now. So they're counting down the top 10 defining moments of Triple H's career. Starting with top 10 was the rebirth of DX in March of 98. Number 9 was Triple H defeating Sting at WrestleMania in San Francisco. Andrade is arguing with Zelina backstage. Charlie Caruso interrupts. Andrade wonders what went wrong in that six-man tag team match before saying his partners had let him down. Andrade says nobody can beat him in a one-on-one match for the U.S. title. Then Apollo shows up to say that he can. And then he slapped Andrade in the face. Vega says Cruz can have a title match later on against Andrade. A video package airs highlighting a feud between Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins, which we know they will be facing each other at this year's Money in the Bank, and they will be having a contract signing at the end of this Raw. The number 8 most defining moment in Triple H's career is Triple H fighting The Rock in the first ever SmackDown main event. The number 7 defining moment in Triple H's career is when Triple H worked out with Trish Stratus backstage. It was when he got caught in a compromising position by his wife, Stephanie McMahon Helmsley. We then have Asuka come out, who gets the microphone before the next match to talk about Nia Jax and what Nia did to Kairi Sane with that turnbuckle spot where she picked her up in a double clutch chokeslam position and threw her into the corner instead of landing, in the corner, standing up. She had missed the top two turnbuckles and hit her head on the bottom one, given Kyrie's history of concussions recently. Not a good look for Nia Jax. Of course, Nia went to social media and TikTok videos and was talking about all her haters all week. And her last video was a TikTok she did of her feeling great after, her post-workout. And I said, by post-workout, you mean eating a family meal from Popeyes. And yes, that is your post-workout mood. So we get an Asuka promo. She's cutting back and forth between English and Japanese, yelling and screaming and laughing and doing her whole typical weird thing that she does that is supposed to get heat. I used to like it, but it is getting a little bit old at this point. But she did mention in English that she had made Nia tap out before. So Nia comes out after that, and then Shayna Baszler comes out after that, and this was supposed to be a triple threat match, which never got started. Shayna Baszler attacked Asuka first, And then she went after Nia Jax. There was some ladders involved. There was some ring posts involved. Eventually, Nia threw both of them in the ring. Then she threw them out of the ring. And then she grabbed a ladder and held it up in the air. And then her music played. The match never started. I never even saw a referee at ringside. Like what we saw in AEW Dynamite last week, you know, we saw Sammy Guevara jump Darby Allin before their match, and they fought outside for shit, you know, 5 minutes commercial, then a commercial break. You know, when they came back, they got in the ring, and then the bell rang. But that never happened here. So this match never happened. This was literally just fighting outside the ring, and then Nia's music plays as she stands over her foes who are outside the ring, beat up. Just made her look like a beast, which is what they're going for, but fuck, then just have her interrupt a promo. Like, why did this have to be a match that was never going to happen? This was really, really dumb. Speaking of dumb, we get Lana giving a pep talk to her husband, Bobby Lashley, backstage. Lashley tells her that he doesn't want her to accompany him in the ring tonight because she can be a distraction due to her beauty. Sure, that's how she's been a distraction lately, when he's literally told her to shut the hell up because he can't concentrate. We then get Bobby Lashley versus Denzel Dejournet. Lashley wins with a spinebuster and a spear. This poor guy's been getting his ass beat for weeks now by everybody. That's the best they can do. We didn't get a highlight package from last week of Liv Morgan defeating Ruby Riott, and we get a rematch between Riott and Morgan. And while I loved the match from last week, I absolutely hated this one. Liv Morgan wins again. After the match, Byron Saxton interviews Liv, who says she has had some many chapters in her life already, and there are more to come. Well, no shit. Morgan says she's still trying to figure out who she is and what all that means. And then she's confident she will figure it all out. I don't even know what the fuck that means. And number six defining moment in Triple H's career is when Triple H won the King of the Ring tournament, which was actually, a year after? Was it a year or 2 years? I can't remember. He was originally supposed to win it the year that Stone Cold Steve Austin won it, but got himself in the doghouse for the curtain call and all that. And, well, let's just say things worked out for both of them in the end, but without that curtain call, would we really have Austin 316? Charlie Caruso interviews Nia Jax, who says there is nothing anybody can do about her actions. You know, she talks about what can Asuka do about what happened out there? Nothing. What can Shayna do about that? Nothing. What can anybody do? And then she screams nothing at Charlie. Like, it was just Nia being Nia. We then get this little promo between the Viking Raiders, which is completely different from their carpool karaoke from last week. It's just so odd and bizarre that they did that last week. But here they are. This is the Viking Raiders talking about who their next opponent will be.
Those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. So Street Profits, what does that tell you about your Raw tag team title reign? Now, you're a great tag team, among the best, but our shared history tells the truth. You won the NXT tag team titles after we relinquished them. You won the Raw tag team titles after we were injured and unable to compete. And the fact is, you've never beaten us. Every time you've risen to the top, it's only been because we're not around. Because every single time you get in the ring with us, so you may be in possession of the Raw Tag Team titles. The world may call you champions, but we know the truth. And the truth is,
As long as the Viking Raiders are around, you'll only ever be second best. But we dare you to prove us wrong, because we want the smoke.
Hey guys, it's me, Santino Moran. Today I'm going to give a little bit shout out to the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. Ninja Turtles were not real. And it's on the Reality Check Podcast Network. Well, a reality check. Ninja Turtles were not real. Trust me, I went in the sewer myself. I got trapped, police department came, fire department, long story. So check out the podcast. Because what else are you going to do? Check out Rad Turtles Wrestler. It's fun to say Rad Turtles. Son of my God. In fact, the Turtles chocolate candy, that's my mother's favorite candy. So that's something positive.
Business with personality. That's the idea that launched London's business newspaper, City AM, 15 years ago. And it's the same idea that inspired our new daily podcast, The City View, where you'll find me, City AM editor Christian May, interviewing the most well-known, influential and colourful figures from business, politics and finance. The City View from City AM, with a new episode every morning. It's the perfect start to your working day.
Hey everyone, this is Stan Wangler from Just Thinking. Stop on by this week and listen to some of the great podcasts we have lined up for you. Two in particular are really good shows. One is called Are We Driving Ourselves Insane? Well, are we? And the next one is called Have You Been Having a Bad Day? Did you have a bad day? Well, if you did, this is the show for you. And I bet you, when you get done listening, you'll feel a lot better. So join us.
So they're back in their gear, just talking like they normally would, like they're badass, you know, the badass tag team that they are, and not singing in a fucking minivan from last week. They want to fight the Street Profits, and they mentioned several facts that Street Profits have never beat them. You know, they were NXT tag team champions. They relinquished the titles and went to Raw, and the Street Profits won them after that. The Viking Raiders were Raw tag team champions before the Street Profits and would still be tag team champions if Ivar didn't get injured. So no matter what, the Street Profits will always be second best. And Ivar says, prove us wrong. Good promo. Much better than last week. Although I didn't mind seeing them out of their element last week. It just doesn't make sense when they're doing that and then doing this. You know what I mean? The number five defining moment in Triple H's career is when he led an NXT invasion against SmackDown. We then get the returning Jinder Mahal, former WWE champion Jinder Mahal. Yes, the three-man band guy. If you guys didn't know that he was a former WWE champion, he had a pretty lengthy run a couple years ago. He took on Akira Tozawa in a squash match. Tozawa loses by the Colossus. Zelina Vega and Andrade are approached by Charlie Caruso backstage. Vega says that Caruso will not be allowed to talk to Andrade anymore. She can not ask him any questions directly. She has to go through Zelina. Then they walk away. And Angel Garza approaches, which, why wasn't he just stand there with his buddy, Andrade and Zelina? Instead, he was just standing on the side. So after they left, Garza approaches Caruso and says he wants to get better acquainted with her and gives her a rose. And she's like, all right. So fucking dumb. The number four defining moment in Triple H's career is when Triple H impersonates Vince McMahon on WWE Raw while Shane McMahon impersonated Shane. That was a pretty cool segment. We then get the match that was made earlier in this show for the United States Championship, Andrade versus Apollo Crews. Really, really good match between these guys until Crews got injured. Crews went to the top rope. Andrade met him up there to exchange some strikes. Crews got Andrade off the ropes before missing a double stomp attempt. And the referee raved off the match because Cruz was too injured to continue. I don't know if that's an angle or not. I don't know if he is hurt and needs to take some time off, but he wrestled in the first segment. Challenge Andrade to a match. Now he's wrestling him again, and all of a sudden his left knee is hurt. And from the reports I've read, he will be taking out the Money in the Bank match. And nothing further has been said about it. So I don't know if this was a legit stoppage. Or did Cruz do something to piss somebody off? And then they took him out. It's just weird how this stuff happens. I don't know if it's a work or not. If they're going to use this to kind of have a fake injury angle to try to build sympathy on Cruz. And maybe Cruz will fight in a match anyway. If the match is already taped, I'm guessing he wasn't in it. Just weird. This is what I don't understand about their taping schedule. Like, if that match was already taped and he wasn't in it for whatever reason, why would he be here on Raw like a week later? I don't pretend to know everything, but none of that makes sense to me. The number three defining moment of Triple H's career was Triple H forming Evolution. We didn't get any response from the Raw Tag Team Champions, the Street Profits, so here they are.
The Viking Raiders.
Say we second best, bruh.
Nah, fam. We the ones that was putting in work while these two cosplaying fools were driving carpool karaoke style eating turkey legs. I mean, yo, they weren't even singing.
Right.
Yo, I don't know what crooners were on in the 14th century, but it's 2020, dog. Get on Spotify.
So what else is there left to say then besides that the Viking Raiders are... They right. I mean, we can sit here and crack jokes or we can make them wrong.
I'm free next week.
So Viking Raiders, since the Street Profits, your WWE Raw Tag Team Champions are free next week, you bring your helmets, mm-hmm. you bring your blind ponytails, you bring your war paint.
Yeah.
Because if it's smoke that you want, that's exactly what you're going to get.
Yeah, and the way they put this on YouTube is the Street Profits challenge the Viking Raiders. And I'm like, okay. Why are the champions have to be the challengers? That's a very specific verbiage that they've put lately, and it doesn't make sense to me. But yeah, they even said, you know, yeah, we'll challenge you for the tag team titles, even though they are the tag team champions. As I said last week, the Street Profits are so fucking obnoxious. We get highlights shown from Becky Lynch's WWE 24 special. Yay. We then get the newly formed tag team that's been wrestling for the last few weeks. Ricochet and Cedric Alexander taking on Ever-Rise, Matt Martell, and Chase Parker. I can legit say I have no idea who they are, and they actually have a tag team name. But Ricochet and Cedric don't. Alexander and Ricochet nail Parker with their finisher for a 3 count. There's not much to talk about. This show is horrible. After the match, MVP appeared on the big screen to reveal that he is now working with Shane Thorne and Brendan Vink, who we saw lose to Ricochet and Cedric last week. MVP says that Thorne and Vink won a rematch with Ricochet and Alexander next week. The number two defining moment in Triple H's career is when DX invaded WCW Nitro. God, why is that not number one? Number one was when Triple H suffered a quad injury on Raw and returned 8 months later. I mean, that was pretty insane, but I don't know. That Invasion of Nitro, to me, was such a good segment. We see Apollo Crews injured backstage. He's on crutches, approached by Charlie Caruso. She asked him what happened and what's gonna happen to him going forward. He got really emotional and said nothing and just kind of hobbled away. Jerry Lawler is the host for the contract signing between Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins, which is funny because Jerry Lawler was not on commentary at all. I failed to mention at the beginning of the show that Samoa Joe is now back on the commentary team taking over for Jerry Lawler. I don't know if that's going to be the thing moving forward or if that's just for tonight, but Jerry Lawler is the host for the contract signing between Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre for the WWE Championship at Money in the Bank. So I do want to play that little clip for you right now. So here is the contract signing between Drew McIntyre, your WWE champion, and Seth Rollins.
Time's ticking.
You think I want this? You think I wanted to do this? I don't want this. I have to do this, Drew. This isn't about me. This isn't about you. This is bigger than all of us. And look, you're going to be a great champion someday. But you're not a leader. I am a leader. In time, this is all going to make sense to you. And look, when that time comes, you can find me.
Thank you, Seth. Things are clear to me now. This was clear. You're completely full of shit. I don't know what this is, what this is about, what's going on in that warped brain of yours. I do know one thing. Look at me, Seth. I will not let you win this championship. You jumped me a couple of weeks ago. You didn't finish the job. At the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, finish the job. Go for the throat, because I'll sure as hell go for yours.
Have faith in...
Oh my! Rollins bounced off of the table, and now the WWE champion clear the ring, and here comes Rollins. Oh, what a Glasgow kiss.
2-1.
The countdown has begun.
Ready for a claymore. Oh, and it's Murphy. It's the disciple, Murphy.
Now, clearly Murphy was waiting in the wings at the direction of Seth Rollins.
The disciple of the Monday Night Messiah coming to Rollins' aid.
We may not have a lot of followers, but sometimes all you need is one.
Yeah.
Oh, claymore to Murphy.
Thanks for coming, Murphy.
McIntyre was that close, Seth, to having Rollins.
Is this your sacrificial lamb? Is this your one follower? That's fine with me. I don't care if you got one, you got nothing.
The Money in the Bank appetizer has just been served.
It's a thin line between disciple and martyr.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Vampiro. This right here is the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. Tune in, get tuned up, get informed, and enjoy the podcast.
Just like most contract signings, this ends up in a fight. McIntyre told Rollins he's going to go for his throat at Money in the Bank. Rollins says that the big picture will become clear. They both signed a contract. McIntyre attacked Rollins, hit a Glasgow kiss. Murphy came down and interfered and attacked McIntyre from behind. And Rollins and Murphy were celebrating and gave each other a hug. And then Murphy got hit with a claymore kick. And Rollins hightailed it. And that is your show. Again, very, very quick show. Really not much to talk about. On a 3-hour show, it wasn't even worth me filling in any blanks. Like, this was just a bad show, and it just left a bad taste in my mouth. Like I said, I didn't see the last hour because the first 2 hours was such absolute dog shit garbage. And I know I said I was going to be more of a fan and stop being so overcritical. That's not even me being overcritical. As a fan, this show fucking sucked. Sucked on so many levels compared to a pretty decent show last week, and even SmackDown was great. And then they come up with this and a pre-taped show at that. It was so bad. I don't mind that there's still empty arena stuff going on. I know it is what it is. You can still have fun and have a good show without the crowd being there. You just have to go a little bit above and beyond and give us something different or something unique or something. Like, wow, you know, like fantastic matches or whatever. And this was nothing. It wasn't even a promo heavy show. I mean, even the wrestling we got just wasn't that good. It just felt like a throwaway show, and we're on the road to Money in the Bank, which is a week from this coming Sunday. It was just not good. It was just not good. It's really, really bad. Really bad. I really don't know what to say, to be quite honest. As expected, the viewership was still down. They've been under 2 million for 3 weeks now. Last week, there were 1.842 million viewers, and this week is 1.817. So down, I don't know, what, 20,000 people or so, 25,000 people. Probably what's going to be, unless they put on something super, super compelling. The empty arena stuff is getting old. A lot of people aren't going to watch it because they're just not interested, which I get. You know, the 1.8 million viewers is probably your super, super hardcore audience, like me. I'm going to watch it every week regardless, even if it is horrible. And even if I do go to bed early, I'm still going to watch most of it. Who knows? We'll see what happens next week. But I am looking forward to Money in the Bank coming up here in a little over a week. Like I said, especially for that ladder match. I'm looking forward to Braun and Bray. I'm looking forward to Rollins and McIntyre. It'll be a good show. It'll be different. It'll be a show that we've literally never seen before. But do expect, like I said, more cinematic stuff coming up, which I'm still shocked that Vince hasn't got away with putting some of that on Raw. Hasn't quite done that yet. But yeah, there's your Raw guys. Hey, sorry for the quick show. It's an easy listen, but really, I save you the burden of having to watch it. And if you did actually watch it, I am so sorry for you. But for those of you that don't watch and you come here to get my input and my thoughts on the show, well, sorry. The show sucked. It did. There's not much I even want to say about it. You know, I got plenty of time to talk. Trust me. I left work early, as I do every Tuesday, to come do this show now. And it just was not worth it. It was not worth watching all the show and just reading the last hour of highlights. I didn't miss much, to be quite honest. And for what I didn't see, I caught up on YouTube. And again, there's just not much to say about it. So that being said, guys, my social media stuff, as always, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it is at RadRobGaming. Check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/RadRobGaming, streaming every Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Central, and every Sunday afternoon at 2 in the afternoon. And check out my YouTube gaming page, is called RadRobGaming. If you want to follow the show on Twitter, it is at RadTurtlesPOD. You can email us, RadTurtlesWrestling@gmail.com, Facebook.com/RadTurtlesWrestling, and check out our company website for the Reality Check Podcast Network. It is rcpodnetwork.com. I'll be back on Thursday for your AEW versus NXT Wednesday Night War show. So until then, guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for all your support. I appreciate every single one of you that listens to this show. Get the word out. Tell your friends. And if you could, Please leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. It'll absolutely help me 100% get through the algorithms, help move our podcast up towards the top, help other people find it that may be looking for another option. So if you could, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, and anywhere you could rate this show, and get the word out. Get the word out that you enjoy Rad Turtles Wrestling. I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. Until then, guys, enjoy the next couple of days, and we'll see you back here on Thursday for the Wednesday Night War show. Take care, guys. Thanks for listening to the RTW Raw Review Show. Once again, you can tweet the show at RadTurtlesPOD or email us at RadTurtlesWrestling@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We appreciate all of your support. You have been listening to the RTW Raw Review Show, only here on the Reality Check Podcast Network.